For y'all that didn't get to make it Friday night, Miss Katie graduated kindergarten and preschool, as we talked about last week. She graduated high school and graduated college with an associate's degree at the same time. So as a tradition and what we do in the church, we got her a brand new NIV Bible. No. We got her a brand new King James Study Bible. And I know you already have a really good one because I gave you that one too. But I also have this one, and so does Brother John. And this is, let me get the name right, it's a Thomas Nelson King James Study Bible, and it's even got color for you. It's a really nice Bible. So, Miss Katie, we're proud of this young lady. She's done great things in the time she's been here. She puts her best foot forward in everything that she does and use it well. You're welcome. You up the box. Y'all be praying for her. She's going to need God's help for the rest of her life. She keeps taking the stand that she's already taken. She's been a blessing to this church and to our family. And be praying for Mom and Dad as she leaves the nest. That's a hard thing to do. Never want to see our children go, but at the same time, we love seeing them grow up too. So, well, it is Mother's Day. And I am thankful for my godly mother and all that she has done for me throughout the years. Some things I did not like when I was growing up, but I thank God she did them. I really do. If you find your places in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'll be reading from verses 41 through 50. But before we begin, y'all need to lighten up a little bit. Oil is the title of the joke. Two good old friends met one day after many years. One attended college and now was very successful. The other had not attended college and never had much ambition. The successful one said, "How has everything been going with you?" "Well, one day," he said, "I opened a Bible at random and dropped my finger on the word oil. So I invested in oil, and boy, did the oil wells gush." And then another day, I dropped my finger again in the word of God, and it fell on the word gold. So I invested in gold mines. And how did they produce? "Now I am as rich as Rockefeller," he said. The successful friend was so impressed that he rushed home to his room in his hotel, grabbed the Gideon Bible, flipped it open, dropped his finger on the page, and said, chapter 11. For y'all that don't know, that's bankrupt. Kids. An elderly man lay dying in his bed. I brought two because I knew some wouldn't get that. An elderly man lay dying in his bed. Suddenly, his death agony was pushed aside as he smelled the aroma of his favorite homemade chocolate chip cookies wafting up the stairs. Gathering his remaining strength, he lifted himself up from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bedroom and with intense concentration supported himself down the stairs, gripping the rails with both hands. In labored breath, he leaned against the doorframe, gazing wide-eyed into the kitchen. Then spread out on the kitchen table were literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was it heaven? Or was it one final act of heroic love from his devoted wife? Seeing it too that he left this world a happy man. Mustering one great final effort, he threw himself towards the table, landing on his knees in a rumpled posture, one hand on the edge of the table. The aged and withered hand quivering made its way to a cookie near the edge. Feeling the warm, soft dough actually made the pain of his bones subside for a moment. His parched lips parted. The wondrous taste of the cookie was already in his mouth, seemingly bringing him back to life. Wait. Or what then? Was his sudden stinging that caused his hand to recoil. He looked to see his wife, still holding the spatula that she had just smacked him with. And her words were, "Stay out of those before the funeral." All right, here's your trivia question for you today. What book in the Bible did Jesus quote every time he defeated the devil on the mount? What book in the Bible did Jesus quote from every time he defeated with the devil on the mount? It was the same book. Huh? Nope. Huh? The book he inspired. Yes, ma'am. There's one in every crowd. Deuteronomy. Every time that he disputed, and he disputed from the books of the law. Deuteronomy. Well, if you have your Bibles, we are here to worship God this morning. So let's stand as we read. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, working our way down to verse 52. The Word of God says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year after the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for this man that's called Jesus, the one that died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for such a great love. Father God, we thank you for our mothers that have raised us in church. We thank you for the godly examples they have been. And Lord, we thank you for your biblical presence, Lord, in their lives. Lord, we honor them today. And Father God, I do pray it's our hearts to honor them and lift them up. For your Bible teaches of great sacrifice that a mother makes for their children. Lord, we thank you for that. Father God, we pray for Brother Michael and Miss Penny in the back, Lord, as they teach the children. Help them to glean and learn. If there be one of age, we pray for that one's salvation. If there be one lost here, we pray for that one also. Lord, just bless this time. Lord, I pray there to be your words today. Hide me behind a cross and give me utterance. Lord, help your unworthy servant to preach. And may you receive all the honor and the glory for everything that's said and done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the winter morning of January 31st, 1861, Abraham Lincoln stepped inside a secluded farmhouse, seemingly adrift on a visit on the vast Illinois prairie. The president-elect had left his hometown of Springfield only once in 8 months since garnering the Republican presidential nomination. In order to finally meet his running mate, Hannibal Hamlin, in person. But he had one special goodbye that he needed to deliver in person before departing Illinois for his inauguration. Inside that cozy farmhouse, tucked underneath a blanket of snow, Lincoln bent down his lanky frame and embraced the wizened woman he called mother. Not the woman who gave birth to him, however, but the stepmother who helped to set him on the path to the White House. Nancy Hank Lincoln, who gave birth to the great emancipator on February 12th of 1809, had instilled the virtues of honesty and compassion in her son and sowed the seeds of intellectual curiosity. Although lacking a formal education of her own, Nancy Lincoln impressed the importance of learning and reading on her young boy as they moved about the Kentucky and Indiana frontier. When his mother suddenly died in 1818 after drinking milk tainted with poisonous white snake root, 9-year-old Abraham was devastated. 14 months later, Lincoln's father, Thomas, returned to the former haunt of Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and called on a woman named Sarah Bush Johnston. The pair had known each other from Lincoln's former time in Elizabethtown. And as soon as the widow Johnston, who had lost her husband in 1816 to cholera, answered the knock on the door, Thomas proposed to her. Once he agreed to pay off all the late husband's outstanding debt, Sarah accepted the matrimonial offer. Widow and widower wed on December 2nd of 1819. Thomas Lincoln brought Sarah and her 3 children back to his small Indiana cabin to live with his 2 surviving children, Abraham and sister Sarah. Thomas Lincoln's new wife found Indiana to be wild and desolate, and the same could be said about young Pharaoh Abraham. Sarah Lincoln dressed him up so that he looked more human and brought a woman's touch to the sparse cabin. She very quickly turned things around. As testimony to the nurturing of Nancy Lincoln, whom her son began to call Angel Mother, Sarah Lincoln found her new stepson to be a model child. Abe was the best boy I've ever saw, she said years later after his death. I can say what scarcely one woman, a mother, can say in 1,000. And it's this: Abe never gave me a cross word, a cross look, or never refused, in fact, or even appearance, to do anything I did not request of him. Sarah also vouched for Honest Abe's long-standing reputation of integrity. He never told me a lie in his life. He never evaded, never equivocated, never dodged anything. Sarah filled the enormous void in Lincoln's life after the loss of his biological mother. Although likely illiterate herself, she fruited at Nancy's work in cultivating Abe's reading, comprehension, and intellect. Sarah quenched her stepson's thirst for knowledge by proving him with books to read. Sarah had an appreciation for the value of education. She recognized early on there was something special about the boy and defended his right to pursue his intellectual development. Stepmother and stepson quickly forged a loving bond. His mind and mine, what little I had, she said, seemed to run together and moved in the same direction. She treated Lincoln as if he was her own flesh and blood by offering love, kindness, and encouragement. He returned the affection, calling her mother. In 1861, Lincoln confided to a relative that his stepmother had been his best friend in the world and that no son could love a mother more than he loved her. When Thomas Lincoln died in 1851, Sarah found herself a widow once again. Lincoln helped to support his mother and maintained a 40-acre plot on her Illinois plains. As Lincoln departed, his stepmother's side on 1861 visit, tears welled up in her gray eyes. Sarah had never wanted him to run for president, fearful that something would happen to him. When her premonition was fulfilled 4 years later and the news from Ford's Theater arrived, Sarah pulled her apron over her face and began to sob and cried out, "They've killed him. I knew they would." When Sarah died in 1869, she was buried in a black woolen dress given to her by her stepson. Their final reunion, a token of appreciation for all that she had done for him. She recognized the boy's tremendous talent and saw a diamond when virtually everyone else around his gangly, awkward boy saw the roughness that he was. But that's what a mother does. She sees a diamond in the rough. After she died in 1869, she was buried in that black dress Lincoln gave her on his visit, as if they were both already in mourning. She then lay in an unmarked grave until 1924, when a local Lions Club erected a stone marker for her. For if Lincoln saved the Union, she saved him. For that alone, she entitled to a decent respect. Measured by usual yardsticks of wealth and distinction, her own life may not have much of a dent in the history of the day. But at just the right moment, she encouraged a small motherless boy and helped him to become Abraham Lincoln. One of the last recorded conversations between Lincoln and his mother was him saying goodbye. His mother feared for his life and told him that it would be the last time they would see each other. And he responded with this. He replied, No, Mama. Well, that's what he called her. They will not do that. He says, trust in the Lord and all will be well. We will see each other again. You see, the first book that she gave her new son was the Bible. It's what she taught him to read from. That's what mothers do. They teach their sons and their daughters about God. And they turn a rough stone into a diamond and a jewel that can be used for the Heavenly Father. The title of today's message is Mother and Jesus. We take from our text, we find Mary, the mother of God. And I want to put this first and foremost, we don't worship Mary. Mary was a wonderful woman and God chose her to do a magnificent thing. But the only way she got to heaven was through the shed blood of her dear son, Jesus Christ, just like anyone else. But number one, we find that she does right in the sight of God. Luke 1:28 says, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mary was doing right in the sight of God. That's why God chose her. Mary was already doing the things that she was supposed to do so God could use her. She was chosen to fulfill the promise of Genesis 3:15 and to carry the chosen seed. Not because of who she was, but because of what she was doing. Because of her heart for God, she was chosen to carry our Christ. Mothers are chosen to raise God's children today. Mothers are specifically designed to nurture and to love each child that they are given for one purpose. To raise them for Him. Not for our own joys, not for our own pleasures, but for the use of God to be a servant of the Most High. That's what mothers are called to do. They are given a guidebook on how to do that. They are given rules and regulations and challenges and what to do so that each child can fulfill the purpose to serve God. Mary was chosen because she was right with God. Women are chosen today to raise children to be right with Him. And the only way that a mother could do that is that mother herself is right with God. Godly mothers raise godly children. The word favor means to regard with kindness and to bless. Mary was blessed by God for her love for Him already. And today godly mothers bring blessings upon their households because they first serve the King. And they pray and they love and they follow God as we're all supposed to. So they are favored by God and His blessings. A house that is not blessed is because the ones inside of it are not traveling with God themselves. But those godly mothers bring blessings upon their houses through their prayers and through their tears. Godly mothers do many wonderful things. We see Sarah, Hannah, and the Shunammite woman do wonderful things for their families. God answers their prayers because they serve God first. God answers the prayers of our godly mothers because they serve Him first and foremost. They don't serve their husbands first. They don't serve their children first. They serve God first. And then they serve their husband and then their children, as the Bible says. Godly mothers bring protection. It says the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with those that are with Him. The Lord is with those that follow after Him and in His footsteps. The Lord is with those that do what He says to do. The Lord is with those that pray morning, noon, and night. The Lord is with those that read His Word and attend to the things of God. This is the protection of God. He protects those that are with Him. Godly mothers bring that protection for their houses as they serve God. They bring His love and His kindness. They bring His shield, His buckler. They bring these things because of the devotion to God. If the Lord is with thee, nothing can harm thee. And God brings that with godly mothers. The Lord was with her because she was right with Him. A dirty vessel shall not be used. Brother and mother that is bent in her for her knees. God sees from heaven's doors, and He shall ever be with her in her pleas. God answers those pleas of a godly mother, and He was always attending to their needs. Many a mother's tears-soaked prayers have stayed the hand of God and led their children to Christ. Mother's prayers get answered, for they come from the heart, for their children and for their family. They don't come for their own needs and for their own desires. But the way God built mothers were to serve their children and their husbands. That's what godly mothers do. They put everything before themselves. And a godly mother will wear herself out, pleasing her family. And she prays for them morning, noon, and night. And God answers those prayers. Thank God for mothers that walk with the Lord. Thank God for mothers that pray to God. Number two, we find that she took him to church. It says they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. We find that every godly mother takes her family to church. They take their children to learn about God. They take their children to learn to see what God has for them. They teach their children who the Jesus Christ was, how that He died on the cross for their sins, how that He was buried. This is what godly mothers do for us. Because they want their children to be saved. They want their children to walk in His footsteps. They want their family to be blessed. So godly mothers take their children to church. And they honor God with their presence. They want to see their family do right. They want to see their family do well. We find that Joseph was raised to serve God. From the beginning, his dad taught him how to pray. Joseph became mighty. He saved his people, his family as well, because his family, his dad and his mom took him to church. They taught him how to forgive, as God did. For this is what God does. This is what mothers do. They teach us how to forgive. They teach us how to love. They teach us responsibility. This is what God teaches us. And we are blessed because of it. Samuel himself was raised in the house of the Lord from the beginning. And what a great man Samuel became for God. Because every time the door would open, Samuel was there. Yes, Samuel abided in the house of the Lord. But he became a great prophet. Started prophet schools. Became a judge for all of Israel. Anointed the first two kings of Israel. Why? Because he was raised in the house of God. Hannah first prayed for him. God answered her mother's prayers. And then she gave him over to God. And he became great. Thank God for mothers who know their places when God's house is open. Number three. She sought him. It says they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. A mother that seeks Jesus shall never be lost. A mother that always looks towards Christ shall never lose her way. Shall never be misguided and shall not misguide her family or her children. For first she seeks Christ. We must seek Him to follow Him. She always knows her way. And that's the way of the Lord. She seeks Him through prayer. She never ceases to pray for her family. She seeks Him through the Bible. A godly mother never fails to read and to study. We heard many a times preachers would say the first thing they see was their mother sitting in the chair in the mornings, reading the Bible and praying. A mother that seeks Jesus will never have to seek another way, for she knows the way, the truth, and the life. A mother that seeks Jesus will always know His will. And always know what He wants for her family. And will always know the answer to everything that comes up. For she's always standing where God wants her to stand. Thank God for mothers that seek Jesus for herself and her family. Number four, she kept his sayings in her heart. Her heart is filled with the Word of God. A godly mother searches the Scriptures. A godly mother meditates upon His Word. A godly mother hides His sayings in her heart. A full heart for Christ has no room for anything else. A mother's heart is full of the Word of God. A mother's heart that is full of God's Word does well for her family. She teaches her children right. She loves in the way that God loves us. And she serves in the way that she's supposed to. She will raise her children right. She will be the loving mother the Word says that she should be. For her heart is filled with nothing but God. She will teach her children the same sayings that her herself had hid there. Thank God for a mother whose heart is full of the Word of God. And then in number five, we find her children. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Because of godly mothers. Because of mothers that pray noon and night. Because of mothers that read the Word of God. Because of mothers that walk after Christ. Their children do the same. We find that children that do not have godly parents suffer greatly in the world. But I'm going to tell you that not every godly mother will raise a godly child. Because we all have our own wills. But can I tell you that a godly mother will at least raise some godly children and set them on the right foot? I've been asked many times, how come my child is not like the rest of them? God didn't intend us to be that way. We all have our own will. God wants us to serve Him and love Him. And you may raise every child the same, but every child is not going to turn out the same. But can I tell you the way that God wants you to raise your children is according with His Word. It's according with His will. God wants you to teach His children how that Jesus came and died. God wants you to teach His children that it's not right to lie or to steal. God wants you to teach His children how to serve Him, how to pray, and how to love others, and how to forgive. God wants you to teach Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21. God wants you to teach your children everything that He has given us in His Word. God wants you to show your children the same love that He has showed you. God wants you to show your children the same forgiveness that He has given you. He wants you to teach your children to be like Christ and to walk in His footsteps and to love like He loves. We don't need any more children of the devil, the children of wrath in this world. We need godly children. And godly children come from godly mothers. But can I tell you, dads, you play the most important role of the household, though. Godly fathers are well desired. Godly fathers are the head of the household and help the godly mothers raise their children. One of the things that families are lacking today is godly fathers. You find more women coming to church by themselves because men are giving up on God. But it takes two to raise godly children. But I thank God for godly mothers that do that when even the father does not. Because a godly mother's children grow in favor with God and are blessed. You want your children to be blessed by God? Then raise them to serve God. Show them how to be blessed. How to call upon the name of the Lord. A mother's child learns how to serve from her own actions. The children become obedient because mom has taught them how to. A godly mother leads to a godly home. Godly children and godly lives. Thank God for godly mothers. And I thank God for my godly mother. A mother that told me about Jesus Christ. A mother that urged me and asked me, why not be saved, Jacob? My mother did that for me. She says, Jacob, you know the Bible. You know what Christ has done for you. Why are you not saved? My mother asked me those questions. She taught me about Jesus. She taught me to read my Bible. She taught me to pray. I thank God for my mother and all that she did for me. You know, my mother lives far away. And with no promise of tomorrow, I don't know when I will see her again. And a lot of us, we live away from our mothers. I know Brother Dwayne does. And his mother's ailing in age, or further in age. And I know a lot of mothers have already passed. But can I tell you, I'm going to echo the words of Abraham Lincoln. Trust in the Lord, and all will be well, for we shall see each other again. Thank God for godly mothers that have given us a godly heritage. A godly mother is a treasure, a gift more precious than gold. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and high esteem do hold. Her love is like that of our Savior, who sacrificed his own life, that we might live joyfully, godly lives. In a troubled world of strife, her heart is like his, holding us close. No matter how far we roam, her arms are always open wide to forgive and welcome home. Her hands are busy molding our lives from the moment we are born, planting seeds, loving, disciplined, even when weary and worn. Her feet are always careful to go where her children can follow there. How could we thank our mothers enough for her tending, loving care? A godly mother fervently prays for the child she loves so much, for she knows the fruit of her vineyard depends on the Master's touch. Thank God for our mothers today and for the way that they've raised us. And we pray that God would help us to be the mothers and fathers He intended us to be. Let's stand. Father God, we love You. And Lord, we thank You for godly mothers today. Lord, we lift them up today. May they be blessed even more than You have already blessed them. Lord, but may they stand strong and continue to serve faithfully and show their children how to praise and to worship You. Lord, we thank You for the godly mothers of this church and how they teach and how they love the children here. Lord, we thank You for Your sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that there be a lost one here today that's never repented and asked Him into their hearts that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we thank You for everything that You have done. Lord, have Your way and Your will in our hearts. And in this invitation, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Come, the altar is open. You can come and just thank God for the mother that He has given you. Or maybe you need to come and ask God for strength to be the mother that He desires you to be. Maybe you're lost today. Maybe you need salvation. What greater gift to your mom than for her to know that you'll spend eternity with Christ?